Welcome to Next on the Tee with Chris Mascaro, where tour players, legends, and the top instructors in the game share their stories, insights, and playing lessons. Join Chris every week as he talks with the greats of the game.
You are the smartest guy I've spoken to on radio or television in my career.
And Chris, again, you're knocking out of the park. You're like 8 under par in this interview.
By having any research, I'm hiring your tail to be the research man. You're the best.
You're a fantastic host and tremendously respected in the golf community.
Yeah, Chris, you do an amazing job, and your listeners are super lucky to have you, and it's always my pleasure.
Chris Mascaro is the king of the golf podcast. Don't miss him on Tuesdays.
Now, here's your host, Chris Mascaro.
Good evening, folks, and welcome to this week's edition of Next on the Tee. I'm your host, Chris Mascaro, and welcome to Arnold Palmer Invitational Week, the time of the golf season when we get to celebrate the king again. Not that we need a special reason to do it, but it's his tournament week, so let's take full advantage of that. I know you know all about the 7 majors that Mr. Palmer won and his 62 PGA Tour titles, but did you know he also won 18 more times internationally? He won 12 times on the Senior Tour. He was the first player ever to win $1 million in prize money. He won the Pennsylvania State High School Championship twice. He won the U.S. Amateur in 1954. Gene Littler once said of Arnie, when he hits the ball, the earth shakes. Palmer once said of himself, what other people find in poetry, I find in the flight of a good drive. In 1960, he won the Masters and then the U.S. Open, then traveled over to Scotland to play in the Open. Came within a stroke of tying Ben Hogan as the only player to have won the first 3 legs of the modern Grand Slam. But that performance got American players interested in going over to play in the Open again. He would win that tournament the next 2 years in 61 and 62. At the time of his passing, he and Jack Nicklaus were the only 2 Masters champions to be members of Augusta National, instead of honorary members, which is what the other previous champions are. No one did more to popularize the game of golf than Mr. Palmer did. So it's great that this time every year, we get to honor him again and pay our respects to a man who was truly larger than the game of golf. Okay, on to this week's show. I'm going to kick things off with a return visit from Bob Winskowitz. Bob is the founder of Squares Golf. His shoe designs have really turned the golf shoe sector on its ear. If you don't think that shoes can really make a difference in how well you play, how far you hit it, how straight you hit it, Bob is going to explain the science around why you're wrong about that. Plus, you've probably seen the Nick Faldo ads for Squares. Well, Nick isn't a paid endorser, by the way. He loved the shoe so much, he bought a piece of the company. Several players out on the Champions Tour wear them, including our mutual friend Mark Calcavecchia. Many of the top instructors are coming over and turning to Squares golf shoes. You'll hear about some of the wonderful ones that he has recently brought on board. Jim McLean, a great friend of ours as well, is a huge proponent of the Square shoes. And like I say, Bob's got a big announcement about several others that are coming over to the Square stable. So we'll get into all of that. Plus, they're getting over into the baseball world as well. So I hope he's going to turn these shoes on to the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Boston Red Sox, 2 of my favorite teams. We'll hear all about that from Bob here in just a few minutes. Following him, I'll get a return visit from Dr. Bob Winters. I enjoyed Doc's 2 previous visits so much that he's going to be joining me once a week for the rest of the year. We'll get into the mental part of the game and his mantra, the moment you change your mind, you change your game. Very excited to have Doc back with me. He'll join me about 25 minutes from now. And then we're going to round things out with a visit from former defensive back and Thursday Night Tailgate guest Hall of Famer, Vincy Glenn. Vincy played for the Patriots, Chargers, Saints, Vikings, and Giants. He's also an avid golfer, friends with Tiger Woods. I got to walk at Augusta National with Vincy during a practice round several years ago. He introduced me to Phil Knight and Tiger's mother. We'll talk with Vincy about his playing days and some of his favorite golf events. He'll be along about 45 minutes from now. So we're going to have a lot of fun tonight. And as always, I can't thank you enough for tuning in and taking the journey with me again this week. Before we get started with this week's show, as I've been saying to you guys all season long, our resident director of instruction, Tom Patry, and I have been working with a company called Kickpoint. And they have done some magical things with our logos and create some polo shirts with some wonderful designs where they take our logos and turn them into designs on a polo shirt. They're absolutely outstanding. Kickpoint Golf is a private label custom golf apparel company making bespoke polo shirts, quarter zips, and hoodies for those selected clubs looking to take their branded game to a whole new level. If you want to check out their apparel, and again, it's going to knock your socks off, send an email to info@kickpointgolf.com. They'll get right back to you. There's no middleman. They're going to go right to the guys that do this work. You're going to check it out, and you are really going to love what they do. I'm going to start showing the polo shirts that they designed for me on my Instagram, @CTMascaro. Check them out there so you can get a sample of what they look like. These guys know where it's at. Now let's talk about golf getaways and buddy's trip locations. When you're thinking about that, think about our friends over at the Macklemore, which is a wonderful resort located just south of Chattanooga, Tennessee, high atop Lookout Mountain. It is a casual two-hour drive from Atlanta, Nashville, and Birmingham. The existing Highlands course is now ranked in the top 100 courses you can play in the U.S. by Golf Digest. The 18th hole is ranked in the top 10 finishing holes in the world. A second course, The Keep, is under construction and will open summer of 2024. The Keep is a Bill Bergen, Reese Jones design and features a mile and a half of dramatic cliff edge, with every inch of that edge filled up with a golf hole. A world-class hotel, Cloudland Lookout Mountain Curio Collection by Hilton, will open spring of 2024. Both have incredible views into historic Macklemore Cove, 1,200 feet below. You got to see it to believe it, folks. Stay, dine, and play golf above the clouds at Macklemore. Go online to macklemore.com to book your stay and play package. Now let's talk about the new P790 irons from TaylorMade. From the very beginning, P790 irons have been rooted in clean aesthetics and thoughtful design. However, their true beauty is found beneath the surface. With AI-optimized weighting and speed foam air on the inside, every iron is uniquely designed to perform exactly how you need it to. As striking as they are on the outside, their true beauty lies within. Learn more about the new P790 irons from TaylorMade by checking out their website at TaylorMadeGolf.com. All right, now back in Next on the Tee with me is a guy who's become a wonderful friend over the last several years. He is the founder of Squares Golf, and that's Bob Winskiewicz. You know, Squares, those golf shoes are the best ones on the market, in my opinion, you know, bar none. I don't care which ones you want to put up against Squares. Squares beats them in my mind every day and twice on Sunday. And that's the opinion of many others as well, including tour players and some of the top instructors in our game. If you look back over the course of Bob's career, let's go back to the mid-90s. He's a sales regional manager for McGregor Golf, and then the senior vice president of sales and marketing for the Arnold Palmer Golf Company. Since he started Squares, the shoes have just gotten better and better every single year. They've been named one of the best golf shoes by Golf Digest, and I couldn't be more thrilled. I get to have Bob back again with me here this week on Next on the Tee. Hey, Bob, how are you, my friend?
Chris, it's always a pleasure. Good to be back on the show. I'm really excited, and I'm excited for you and your growth. So it's a pleasure and an honor.
Well, I appreciate that very much, my friend. So, Bob, before we get into the shoes and stuff, I got to get your thoughts. We're in Arnold Palmer Invitational Week, and as I mentioned in your intro, you worked with Mr. Palmer when you were a senior VP for his companies. Talk about your relationship with the King.
Yeah, that was definitively the highlight in my golf career prior to Squares. He was everything that golfers think that he is. He is the best and biggest ambassador of golf. He lived, breathed it. And he was the kind of guy that always took time to shake somebody's hand, to say hello to somebody. And he always made you feel like you were the only one in the room. He just had that magic about him, and that, you know, when he looked at you, he wasn't looking around to see how many other people were looking at him. He was just, he was great. I really enjoyed my time with him. We would have board meetings 4 times a year. Whether it was at Bay Hill or we were based out of Chattanooga, he came into Chattanooga, and we'd always have dinner the night before. And it was quite a time listening to him tell stories. So I would just tell anybody who's listening here that he was just a, you know, from my perspective, a great ambassador of the game, but a great human being.
Bob, one of the stories that you've told about Mr. Palmer in the past when you've come on the show, and I believe that that has rubbed off on you and the things that you are doing now with Squares. But you talked about when you worked with him and you would present a product to him, he would always ask you what's in it for the consumer. And I feel like that has transitioned to you over at Squares when you ask yourself about what you're doing and that some of the new things that you come out with year after year. Am I making that up or is that something you learned from him?
Oh, no, that was him. And I will never forget that day as long as I live when I was making the presentation on a new iron. And, you know, he had the iron in his hand. He's looking at it, how good looking it was. And so he cut me off mid-sentence. He said, so let me ask you, what's in it for the consumer? What's in it for them? And I have to be honest with everybody here is that I stumbled. I was shocked. He took me off my game. But I never forgot that. And so every time we launch a shoe, every single time we do it, we try to innovate. We look at every piece of the golf shoe, the material, the polymers that we use, the structure, the geometry, the biomechanics, the science, the emerging science. We look at all of this stuff and we try, you know, we try to reinvent ourselves every single year, you know, and I've watched, you know, companies like, hey, as simple as Apple with the iPhone, they keep coming up with a new design and they don't wait for somebody else to antiquate their product. They antiquate themselves and themselves. And so, you know, that's what I try to do. We spend a lot of time on this and, you know, and the genesis of that was that day that Arnold challenged me. And I will never forget that as long as I lived.
Bob, let's talk about what's new for 2024 with Squares. And like I say, the brand keeps getting better and better every single year. And from the early feedback that I'm hearing about what's new for 24, the shoes are even lighter and more stable. Catch us up with the great innovations you have for this year.
Yeah, so we launched three new models this year. And what we did is we took a step back and we said, you know, over the last 4 years, what are people saying about the shoe? And one of the things was the weight of the shoe. Now, we were in between 17 and 18 ounces. And relatively speaking, for a golf shoe, that is on the heavier side of things because of these lightweight sneaker-like shoes with, you know, with no removable cleat, which I am a absolute, I am a proponent. Let me say it this way. I'm a proponent of a removable cleat. And if anybody out there is not wearing a shoe with a removable cleat, you are losing distance. And there's a reason why 82% of all tour players wear a removable cleat. So, you know, we look at things such as that. We look at traction. We look at, you know, all of those components. But, you know, weight and structure of the golf shoe oppose each other. And think of it this way. The more structure you add, the more weight you're adding. And the more structure you take out weight. So it's a delicate balance of how to give somebody structure. Now, if you're a guy out there 200 pounds and you're creating, you know, this 200 pounds of pressure just by walking. And as you force pressure into the ground and say you could generate 1.5 times your body weight, that's 300 pounds of pressure. And just think of a golf shoe that the amount of pressure you're putting on that, whether it's back, front, left, right, lateral, medial, you're putting a lot of pressure on that. And in doing that, if you don't have the structure, you will create inefficiencies in the golf swing. You get stuck in your right side. You'll get stuck in your front foot, the front of the foot, the back foot, left, so on and so forth. So, you know, we look at all of this and we listen to people and people said, what can you do about the weight? So we've been on a research project really for 2 years now and we knocked out about 2 ounces out of the shoe. Now, so you go from, say, a 17.3 ounce shoe to a 15.3 ounce shoe. And in the world of golf, that makes a big difference. Most people would be surprised that you can feel that difference. But we changed up the midsole. We went to this new foam EVA. it's significantly lighter. It adds a little more comfort to it. But the response that we saw, you know, you just can't pick any kind of midsole and develop a very thick midsole. Now, you know, this is not a shot across the bow of G4, but I look at the thickness of their midsoles, and they're very thick on their more contemporary style, not so much on the Gallivanter, but what you see is a very thick midsole. And to the average eye, it looks very comfortable and it looks appealing. But what is, you know, to establish that thickness, they're saying that it's cushioning. Cushioning is another word for energy absorption. And in the golf swing, there's a delicate balance of how much comfort you want to provide and how much of that energy exchange with the ground you want to absorb. So we look at all of those details. And Chris, it's, you know, we look at every component from a materials perspective, a weight perspective, a performance, and we try to add it all up in terms of performance gains. And then when we're ready, we launch a product. But this year's model is lighter. It's got more structure. And what I mean by that is that you can structure material. So we've got a couple of the models have got this embossing on the side. And when you emboss something, it pulls the material tight in that area and it provides you more structure. And then I'll get into in a minute, which is the new Velo shoe, which is the first ever speed rated golf shoe. And that's for somebody that's a very aggressive golfer or get a high swing speed.
So let's take the idea of structure a step further, because one of the things you've talked about over the years that bears repeating is you said, if you can twist your golf shoes, throw them away. Now, some people, like you were alluding to a moment ago, see that as flexible and they say, well, that makes it, you know, a little better. It makes it softer. It makes it feel better. It makes it, you know, more conforming for my foot. But what really you lose out on distance because you've given that flexibility in a golf shoe where it doesn't belong.
100%. You know, it's interesting when somebody has a heart attack and they teach them how to walk again, or they have a stroke and they're, you know, they're trying to perfect their balance and their stability. They tell them to go walk a golf course. And one of the reasons why is because there's no even surfaces and you learn to create that balance as you're walking. So think of this. If you are on a side hill, downhill lie, and you've got a golf shoe that doesn't have structure, what's happening? Your feet are literally shifting in that shoe, matching the angle of that lie. And it could be the slightest of angles that you don't necessarily acknowledge. To you on the golf course, it may look like one of the more flat lies, but it's certainly on an angle type of slope. And every time that happens, your foot is sliding and moving in that shoe. And because of that, your brain, your body is saying, look, our internal GPS is saying something doesn't feel right. And then you start to grip the ground with your toes because your body is telling you to do that. It's like if you were standing on the side of a cliff and you are looking over it, your body says, hey, something's not right here. And you're going to grab the ground with your toes. And the worst thing you can do in the golf swing is grab the ground with your toes. So there's a lot of inefficiencies created by these shoes. And when I say if you can twist it, toss it, the other reason for that is not necessarily, primarily because your foot is really moving in that shoe. But what happens is, on those lightweight sneaker-like shoes, you have more fatigue during the round than you would if you had something more structured. Why is that? Because on those side-hill, downhill lies, because the material is giving, your foot is giving as well. So it's moving in that shoe. So at the end of the day, you'll have more fatigue and it creates a lot of inefficiencies in the golf shoe, in the golf swing, rather.
Bob, as you mentioned a moment ago, the Velo shoe, a speed-rated golf shoe. People look at that and say, how can that possibly be? That is the shoe that I am most intrigued about this year. A, it looks fantastic, and B, if it is speed-rated, what that tells me is I'm going to get more speed in my swing that's going to lead to more ball speed, which leads to more distance, even what we've already gotten by using the square shoe. Talk about that.
Yeah, so it really goes to the heart and soul of what we're just talking about, Chris, is that the in the golf swing, somebody who's got a swing speed over 100 miles an hour or somebody's just very aggressive, and we see a lot of that today with today's golfers. They you know, whether you call it grip it or rip it, or try to swing out of their shoes. You know, I'm sure you play with those kind of guys after they swing. They go, man, that guy swings out of his shoes. And that particular person needs more structure in the golf shoe. Not necessarily in a general sense, but they need it in certain areas. And that area predominantly is the lateral side of the golf shoe. So the lateral side of the golf shoe takes the greatest, incurs the greatest amount of stress. So the material on that side of the shoe really takes a beating. So what we did is we looked at a way that we could reduce expansion in that area without impacting comfort, because you didn't want something there that's very rigid that wouldn't give. But our objective was to cut down that give by about 40%. And how we went about it is we selected a material, and the best way to explain it, it's analogous to what titanium was to metal woods back in the day, is that you can create something that's larger or something that's stronger but thinner. And that's what we did. We found this film and this type of material that we put a band on the lateral side of the shoe that reduces expansion in that area. And because of the reduction in expansion, we can directionalize that energy vertically instead of it coming out horizontally at the lateral side of the shoe. So if we can reduce it going out the side, it goes up and down. And we can measure that. We can put you on a pressure mat. And we were seeing about right around about 2.8, 2.9 miles an hour in swing speed added. Now, it sounds like a lot, and it is a lot, generally speaking, but considering how fast and how aggressive these people are, they've got a tremendous amount of energy leakage on the lateral side of the shoe. And we see this a lot with the tour pros today. So we're able to reduce expansion in that area, and by doing it, we directionalize it vertically.
Bob, speaking of tour pros, your stable of tour pros plus top instructors in our game that are out there wearing the new square shoes is really impressive. Got some great friends of this show. I know Mark Calcavecchia is out there wearing them. I know Tom Pertzer recently got a pair of shoes that he loves. Steve Yellen has been on this show and talked about it. Jim McClain was on a few weeks ago. He talked about it. And I got a press release today about yet another top instructor coming on board. Talk about that.
Yeah, we just released it. David Ledbetter, who is right up, he's in the top five most elite golf instructors that's been around the game for quite some time. And when you look at the stable of players that he's coached, he has over 150 majors wins. He's just one of these guys that is an expert in swing analysis and looking at these good golfers and really finding inefficiencies in their swings. And if you can eliminate inefficiencies in the swing, most of the time it results, obviously, it could be a neutral factor, but most of the time it creates an efficiency. And that stuff is easily measurable. So, you know, we've got David Ledbetter, we've got Jim McClain, who is just one of the greatest guys out there, just personally, as well as, you know, in terms of his talent of being an elite instructor. You've got Rick Smith, we've got Bobby Clampett, we've got Mark Gimmelman. I could go on and on and on. But, you know, these are the guys that teach the game from the ground up. And I remember Rick Smith said to me once, you know, I get guys coming in asking, should my hands be here, 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 here? And Rick says, look, forget about that. We're going to work on the belt buckle down. And once we get that right, then we'll worry about your hands. Because most people that play this game forget about the fact that without balance and stability and your use of the ground, nothing else really can repeat itself. You can't be a good, consistent golfer if you don't appreciate balance, stability, and ground connection, because your arms follow your body. And most golfers out there today, a large percent of them, will slice the golf ball. And I see people selling drivers now, drivers that fix the slice. You know, for me, that's like trying to fix the rattle in your car by turning up the radio. You know, it's one of those things that I can't believe people are buying this. They're looking for quick fixes, but slicing, the ultimate problem with slicing is weight distribution on your feet. So you could be too much in your toes, your heels, the inside, the outside. And that's where slicing comes from. And that's why the face is open, because of weight distribution, and your arms follow your body. So again, my point is this, is that all these big instructors out there, they teach ground connection. Somebody like Bobby Clampett teaches the impact zone, which is a very powerful method. And, you know, they're focused on how to use the ground. And that's the rage today with tour players, because of the regulations on clubs, balls, and now they want to roll the back the ball. Where else do they find distance? Well, they find it from the ground. That's where you get it from. And they're looking to improve that by using the ground better.
Well, to take that a step further, when Jim McClain was on the show, he talked about how critical the feet and knees are in the swing, because that's where the swing starts, he says, in the kinematic sequence. Knees and feet, then the hips, then the shoulders, then the arms, and then the club. Well, mm-hmm. If that all starts in the lower body, well, the shoes we're wearing better be pretty darn good, and makes them even that much more important. So that's just kind of an additional point to what you said about how Jim McClain is teaching the golf swing.
Yeah, and that's why we connected so well. I mean, Jim and I got on a call, and it was like, you know, I think we're about an hour and a half into it. We could have talked all night, because, you know, it's one of those things that most every golfer is enamored with buying the newest $700 driver. And, you know, they want to spend, you know, $55 on a dozen golf balls, yet, you know, going out and buying a 200 pair of shoes seems a little ridiculous. Well, I always tell people that if you lay the club down, the driver down, the ball down, and the shoes down, and you look at it and say, which one of those helps you create swing speed? The only one that helps you create swing speed is the golf shoe. The ball just sits there. The club is the conduit or the lightning rod that you generate the energy. It transfers the energy to the ball. So if you back that swing up, you get down to the interaction with the ground, and those shoes or golf shoes can either help you or hurt you. Period. End of story.
Bob, speaking of how critical our feet are in the connection to the ground, you've entered the baseball market. Talk about the immediate success you've been able to see so far with your new baseball shoes.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. It's been fascinating for me, and it's been actually an interesting learning curve. I mean, I played baseball as a kid, but you know, the game is advanced, and you know, the athletes have changed, and you know, pretty much in every sport. But you know, I really believe, and I think the baseball industry would admit, that the golf industry is about 5 years ahead of them. And what I mean by that is that the golf industry really got into club fitting. They got into all the sophisticated software and ground force and swing analysis. And baseball, now you're going through bat fittings, and now they've gotten into all of this software that's analyzing, you know, pressure, weight distribution, movement, and the importance of the feet. And one of the things that we saw with our design is that, you know, it's leverageable. It's leverageable in any land-based sport that you need the ground to function. So it's whether it's tennis, whether it's baseball, pickleball, football, basketball, if you need to use the ground in order to execute that motion, you need to be balanced and stable to be efficient. And so if I can improve, and this is our operating model, which is, if I can improve your balance and stability and ground connection, you will hit the ball farther and straighter. You will perform better. And it should make sense to everybody that really thinks that through. So with baseball, we see what we call a varus valgus. Either you pick up your big toe or you pick up your little toe as you're making that motion of transferring the weight from one side to the other side. And as you do that, if you pick up your baby toe or you pick up your big toe, and you watch a lot of these major league players, they'll be doing that. But if I can put them in more of a neutral position and they're not picking their toes up, then that means more energy deployed, what they call exit velocity, from the ball to the bat. I mean, the bat to the ball. And exit velocity is how fast the ball comes off the bat. And we just finished a medical clinical trial with our golf shoe, with our baseball shoes, which is exactly the same design as our golf shoe, but just a different traction pattern. And it was proven that in over 60% of the people tested, they increased their exit velocity by over 2 miles an hour. Now, 2 miles an hour in exit velocity is 10, every 1 mile an hour is 10 feet. So that's 20 feet of distance they were picking up just by changing their shoes.
Wow.
And the same holds true in golf. 60% of the players by more than 2 miles an hour just by changing their shoes did nothing else. And it's been all proven. It was a medical study that was published and presented at the International College of Ankle and Foot Surgeons Convention on February 9th. It was presented to the whole convention of how a shoe can make such a big performance difference. And they looked at it medically, and there's a lot more to it, but that's kind of the cliff notes.
Okay, so I got two questions about that. A, you're taking a guy from maybe deep warning track power to a guy that just hit a home run, right? 20 feet-ish?
100%.
All right, and second of all, you're from the New England area. I lived up there for a long time. You and I are both Red Sox fans. Tell me that the Red Sox are wearing your shoes this year.
You know, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give it to them for free. You
right? A little help for the Red Sox.
You know, we've got this right now. We have over 80 Major League Baseball players training in our training shoe, and we're launching our metal molded and turf shoe in May. And we've got some great guys wearing our shoes. As Ramon Laureano plays for Cleveland. We've got Blake Dunn that plays for Cincinnati Reds, and there's a host of others. But you'll be seeing these shoes on TV this spring.
I hope so. And for all my friends back in Pittsburgh, we got to get the Buccos with the square shoes too. Let's get a Red Sox Pirates World Series going. We need a little extra help.
I agree.
Bob, just a couple more before I let you go. And artificial intelligence is entering our world at a very rapid pace. Are you using AI to help with some of the shoe designs?
We are. You know, we did that with our traction pattern. And you know, Chris, it's people ask me this often, and I say it's kind of like analyzing the golf swing. You know, you've got somebody like a Jim McClain, a Rick Smith, or a David Ledbetter, and all of their experiences, seeing the swing, watching it, that the hours upon hours of doing this so many years, and then enter software, enter pressure mats, and all of the sophisticated swing analysis equipment. You know, you need to have that eye for the swing and look at the data to confirm what you're doing, or to look at the data to see maybe areas you missed. But it's that confluence of that experienced teacher with that eye for the swing and that experience, that tremendous, match it up with the software, and that's the best of all worlds. So, you know, certainly AI can guide you. It's not the end all be all, but it's a check and balance. It's a guide. It gives you hints. Sometimes it gives you answers, but you know, we've got a designer that spent 27 years designing cleated sports, and that's all he's done for 27 years. And it's his eye, his knowledge, his insights that really could take something that AI does, adds it to what he thinks and his experience makes the optimal product.
Bob, before I let you go, remind our listeners, how can they stay up to date with all the great things you're doing, whether it's on your website or it's on social media?
Yeah, it's squairz.com, S-Q-A-I-R-Z, no U, S-Q-A-I-R-Z.com. Our website, it's very informative. There's a lot there. Anybody that checks out the website can download all of our free lessons from all of our instructors, which we call Squairz Academy. So, you know, we just don't want to sell shoes. We want to provide some lessons and things to help people play better golf as well. So that's squairz.com.
Bob, I can't thank you enough for taking time out of your extremely busy schedule to come back and be a part of the show. What you are doing and what Squairz is doing is just simply unbelievable. There are a lot of people that are skeptical that say, can I really get more distance from a shoe? And you helped us understand, yes, you can, and here's how. That's fantastic stuff. I can't thank you enough, my friend.
Chris, thank you. And thank you for what you do. Without people like you in a show like this, I wouldn't have this kind of voice out there. So you're an important piece of this golf industry. And thank you for what you do, my friend. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you. Take care, my friend. All the best to you and your family. We'll catch up soon.
Sounds good, Chris. Take care.
See you, Bob.
Bye now.
That is the great Bob Winskowitz. And folks, I can't tell you how great the Squares Golf Shoe is. Look, before Bob and I ever knew each other, and I took a look at Squares. I mean, we've all seen the Nick Faldo commercials, and he and Nick have been friends for a lot of years. And Nick saw it, oh, by the way, and he's not a paid endorser. Nick bought into the company. That's how much he loved the shoe when he saw it. And that's how much I loved the shoe when I got an opportunity to wear and go out there and play in it. It absolutely is going to make a difference. You can be skeptical all you want, but I'm telling you, go out there, get yourself a pair of the Square shoes and see for yourself. Test them out. See if how much better it is. And like Bob says, if you can take your golf shoe and you can twist it, throw it out, because you're doing yourself a disservice and you're costing yourself distance and accuracy because your foot is in there slipping and sliding into all those sorts of things. And check out the Squares Academy. Oh, by the way, you heard Bob talk about all the great instructors that have come on board. Well, they've got some lessons out there for you as well. So that's fantastic. I can't tell you enough. Squares are fantastic golf shoes. Bob is a great guy. I've really come to really enjoy being around him. I got to spend a little bit of time with him, not this year, but the year before at the PGA Merchandise Show. And I've had an opportunity to talk to him, obviously, off air. He's a fantastic guy. He's doing great things. There's true science behind this stuff. And they're constantly testing and making it better. Every year, the shoes are getting better, and I love what he's done for 2024. Hopefully, we get the opportunity to catch up with him a little bit later on this year. Coming up next is a guy who's going to become a regular part of this show this year, going to be joining me the first Tuesday of every month because he's just that fantastic, a great guy, and one of the best sports psychologists in our game, and that is Dr. Bob Winters. Before I get to Dr. Bob, I was talking with Eddie Dry, VP of Domestic Sales for Strixon Cleveland Golf, at the PGA Merchandise Show earlier this year, and I said, Eddie, I like your CBX full-face wedges. How can they help an average player like me play better? Here's what he had to say.
An average player, I use one, and I'm in some lies that you can't even believe, and I need all the help I can get, and the face is bigger, and the grooves go all the way up and all the way out to the toe. So if you hit it on the toe, you miss it, bam, there's a groove. So I like that. So I carry a 58.
There you have it, folks. Try the new CBX full-face wedges from Cleveland Golf. I also want to give a shout-out to my friends over at On Point Golf and their great On Point ball marker. Get the number one ball marker in the game of golf. On Point is the only three-dimensional ball marker out there. With alignment technology and a removable coin that is approved to use according to the rules of golf. As you know, putting is all about line and pace. Mark your ball with On Point, engage with your three-dimensional ball marker, and have more confidence in your line, execute the putt, and you're going to lower your scores. Do what the likes of Jim Furyk, PGA professionals, and amateurs alike are doing now. They use the number one ball marker in golf and they lower their scores. You know Ken Duke and Thong Chai JD. They won for the first time on the PGA Tour in 2023 and they were using an On Point ball marker. Get yours at onpointgolf.us and make more putts. And oh, by the way, you can also customize the removable coin for any club, event, or corporate outing. They make really great tee gifts and custom products. That's also going to help lower your score. I use On Point ball markers. Mine is black and gold, 3D black golf ball with a gold line down the middle to help me line up my putts. It's like having a 15th club in my bag. It's helped my game. Why wouldn't you let it help yours? Again, onpointgolf.us. See what I'm talking about. Order yours today. Now let's talk grips. I want to tell you about Lampkin grips. Every shot, as you know, has its own unique feel. The trick? Feel comfortable with each one. And comfort is built into the very DNA of Sonar Plus Black Grips. Composed of their Genesis material that provides supreme comfort and durability, with their fingerprint technology, creates a strong connection and unforgettable touch. The game changes from shot to shot. The feel on your hand shouldn't. Lampkin. Feel is everything. All right. Now back with me is Dr. Bob Winters. Dr. Bob was so great in his two previous appearances that I wanted to have him as a regular part of the show. And I'm honored to say that he's going to be joining me the first Tuesday of every month now going forward. If you don't recall from his previous visits, Doc is a sports psychologist, an author, and a professional educator. He's got his own performance enhancement company down in Orlando, Florida. He is also the resident sports psychologist at the Ledbetter Golf Academy down in Reunion Resort in Orlando. Doc completed his PhD at the University of Virginia and was a member of their athletic coaching staff for 8 years. He earned his undergraduate degree at Ball State, played on the golf team there where he was the team captain for the 1975-76 season. He has coached and counseled several great players out on the PGA, LPGA, and LIV tours, including Brooks Koepka, Tony Finau, Lee Westwood, Justin Rose, and Michelle Wee. And I couldn't be more excited. He is back with me again this week here on Next on the Tee. Hey, Dr. Bob, how are you, my friend?
Chris, you know, it's great to be with you tonight. Thanks for bringing me on. I'm just so glad to be sort of a little regular contributor here to your great program.
Well, I appreciate that very much. We're very lucky to have you. Doc, I got to ask you, being Arnold Palmer Invitational Week must bring back some fond memories for you with your time with the King. What are some of your favorite memories of spending time with Arnie?
I'll tell you, you know, one of the greatest, you know, things I always remember about Arnie, and I'm going to go, you know, back a long time. This is back in 1971, so it dates me a little bit, but it was the Stratton Arnold Palmer Golf Academy. It was the first big golf academy in almost anywhere in the United States, and it was the brainchild of Arnie to bring about 100 to 125 young boys. It was all, you know, male back then. To a wonderful place. They built this fantastic training facility there at Stratton Mountain. They had the Stratton Mountain Golf Course. And I remember, you know, going there when I was 17 years old. I had my car and I actually drove all the way from Indiana, took a 2-day trip up to Vermont. And it's right there, Stratton, right in about the middle center part of Vermont. Beautiful country. Took me 2 days to get there. And as soon as I got there, Chris, I was so excited to be there. I locked my keys in the trunk of my car.
Oh, no.
Now, I locked the keys in the trunk of my car. And, you know, we're getting registered and whatever. And I have my Ball State T-shirt. I was going to go to Ball State later that fall. I had a pair of jeans on. Locked all my luggage, all my golf clubs in the trunk. And back then, you just, you know, there really weren't that many locksmiths around to pop your trunk or whatever. So I had to go snail mail and have my parents send the keys. So for 3 or 4 days, I was playing with borrowed clubs. And one of the, you know, counselors, instructors there was Bodie Marks. He was the captain of the Yale golf team. He let me borrow his clubs. And on the first day, that we had a 215-yard par 3. I think it was number 11. And I actually took a driver out. But you have to remember, I was only about, you know, 5 foot and about 89 pounds at 17 years of age. I could crush it, you know, maybe 200 yards. But on this particular day, I had a little wind behind me, and it was an uphill par 3. And lo and behold, I got a hole in one on the very first day of our golf academy. And 3 weeks later, you know, I went on, you know, make a lot of great friends. We had a 125 man or boy tournament, and it was match play. And I ended up, you know, winning the first flight division and to a wonderful playoff. A four-hole playoff with John Lockhart from Clinton, Iowa. And after, you know, the tournament was over, Arnie came up and spent 2 days with us up there in Vermont. Had a chance, you know, hit balls with him, talk with him, play with him. And he gave me two of my trophies. And I remember sitting around with him at one of the, you know, the Hotel Tyrol where we were staying up there. And he asked me, he said, Bobby, he goes, what did it feel like for you to get that hole in one? He goes, I've never gotten a hole in one with a driver. And he said, what's it feel like? And I said, it feels pretty damn good. He goes, I imagine it does. And I remember, and from that time, and winning it, he asked me, he said, where are you going to go play college at? And I said, well, yeah, I'd like to play college at Ball State University, but I'm not on any, you know, scholarship or watch or whatever. And Arnie looked at me, and here's my hero talking to me. And he said, listen, anyone who gets a hole in one with the driver the first day they're here, goes on, have a great, you know, 3 weeks like you've done. I've heard a lot of great things about you. And then you win, you know, this tournament up here, this Stratton Classic. He goes, that's somebody. I want you to go into that coach's office and tell them that you'd like to have a chance, you know, to try out for that team. And if they ask who put you up to it, you use my name. And that's exactly what I did, Chris. You know, like the second day of school, I went into the coach's office and he asked me, he said, who sent you here? And I said, well, I'm on the strong recommendation of Mr. Arnold Palmer. And Coach Justingsmeyer looked at me. He goes, Arnold Palmer sent you here. And I go, yeah, he sent me here. And it was just that naive and just so innocent. And I don't mean to be sounding too cocky when I say this, but if you weren't confident going in, you sure as heck weren't confident coming out, because the coach thought I was like about 12 or 13 years of age because I was so little and so young looking. But that really created, you know, my ascent up into, you know, college golf and professional golf. But it was really created there by my king, Arnold Palmer, saying, hey, you know, you can do this. Let's go and tell them Arnie sent you. So this is the week of the Arnold Palmer, you know, Bay Hill Invitational, just, you know, down the road from where I live. And we've got, you know, a wonderful, you know, kind of a nice star-studded cast, if you can. I mean, it's a limited field. I think there's only 69 players. They have a generous cut, you know, the top 50 in ties, and the winner gets $4 million. So you've got a lot of good names. You know, you've got Ludwig Åberg playing. You've got Austin Eckroat, who just won last week down there at PGA National. You got Victor Hovland. You've got, you know, Rory McIlroy. So they've got a really nice, you know, marquee sort of field, you know, for this event. And so, you know, I hope everybody, you know, gets out there and we get a chance to see everybody play. And I think it's going to be some great golf.
Doc, you mentioned your alma mater, Ball State. Their men's golf team recently had a tremendous week at the Dorado Beach Invitational, including a team record round that had to make you pretty proud.
Oh, that was unbelievable. Like a few weeks ago, I went over to Lake Geneva and they had, you know, and they host the what they call the MAC, Mid-American Conference and Atlantic 10, Earl Justingsmeyer Invitational. And they had, you know, a lot of teams over there. And they ended up winning the match play. I was over there working with the team, you know, a couple of nights before and talking to them about, you know, how I see, you know, what we should be doing this year. So the last two events, you know, that I've actually been talking with the team, they finished first and they finished, you know, in a beautiful, you know, second place finish there, you know, at Dorado Beach, and had, you know, record setting performances. I think what, 28 under, you know, for the tournament and 16 under. For all their players in one round. So, I mean, Ball State University, we've always had great golf teams, even back, you know, when I was playing back, you know, in the early 70s, mid 70s. But there's been a lot of great players have come out, you know, of that program, you know, Denny Hepler, Brian Tennyson, Scott Steger, you know, and so many, many more. And they just have a great team. It isn't just, you know, what they're learning from me, but these are some unbelievably great kids. They've got, you know, great motivation, unbelievable discipline. And, you know, obviously it is up north, but, you know, they have the Earl Justingsmeyer practice facility named after, you know, my coach. And Earl passed away a few years ago. God bless his soul. And he was just an unbelievable golf coach, the world's greatest organizer, and perhaps the most analytical, organized man I've ever met. But, you know, when you're coaching, you know, young fellows from 18 to 21 years of age, you know, somebody's got to be on the ball, because, you know, 18, 19 and 20 year old young men, you know, they don't have the most mature of intellect. And sometimes they'll make, you know, some pretty scattered decisions. But the Ball State University men's Cardinals team has been fantastic, as have, you know, the Ball State women's team. They're doing very, very well. So for these what we call northern or midwestern schools, that have these wonderful training facilities, these young, you know, men and women get a chance to kind of work on their game all year. And what I've always told, you know, people, they say, well, you're up north, you know, how can you really compete? And I said, well, listen, you know, the Swedish Golf Federation's been doing it for years. I mean, do you recognize the names of Helen Alfredsson and Annika Sorenstam, Liselotte Neumann, and people like that? So you don't have to actually, you know, be playing, you know, 365, you know, have the sunshine all the time. In fact, I think you know, those players who play in really hardy conditions or don't get a chance to go out and go play, I happen to believe that they have sort of a psychological and emotional rejuvenation, because when they do go play, they are ready to play. I mean, they're really ready. They're not burned out. They're not stale, and they're really fresh. It's almost like everybody up north getting ready to go out and go play now. I mean, everything's greening up. Hopefully the red bud trees are out and people get excited to go out and go play. So I think that's, you know, a great thing. So go Cards. And as I always tell them, you know, Ball State Cards, you fly high and you score low.
There you go. And Doc, speaking of younger players, every Tuesday in March now, you're doing something special with some young folks out in Colorado on the Summit Junior Tour. Give them a shout out.
Well, I'm going to give them a shout out. Plus, I'm also been working with the Sawmill Performance Group up in Ontario, Canada. And, you know, the next group I'm going to be talking to is the Summit Junior Tour group with Kelly McCandless. She's doing a fantastic job out there building up, you know, the next future generation of golfers out there out west and around Denver, Colorado. And so we're going to be talking tonight. We have, you know, like a 4-session series. And tonight we're going to be talking about mental training. You know, what's it all about, what it is, and what it is not. And then we're going to go into what I call the 5 truth bombs of creating golf confidence. Then we'll talk about, you know, the 10 most common mental mistakes in golf. And then I think for our final session, we're going to talk about how to play smart golf, not dumb golf. And, you know, those are acronyms, you know, for, you know, specific things. And I can kind of talk about that maybe on another show. But yeah, they're just actually getting some great, great information. And I try to actually keep it very simple, very specific. And, you know, the kids just love it. And I'll tell you what, by the time, you know, they get out of there, they almost think and talk and act like grizzled veterans out there on tour, because these young players of today, they're traveling all over. They're getting a lot of exposure. And that's why these kids, like a young Nick Dunlap, who just won, you know, earlier a few weeks ago, they're coming out, you know, these junior programs going into colleges, and they're coming out of colleges. They are mean, lean, and they are golfing machines. and they are really ready to win, and they're not scared. And that's one of the first things I tell people. I said, you got to do 3 things. And if I was talking, you know, to you as one of my students, Chris, I'd be saying, Chris, you got to go out and play Chris Mascaro golf. And that's, you know how to do it. And you've got to beat the golf course, because that's really beating the game. And you've got to do it one shot at a time. And if you can actually, you know, stand true to those 3 foundations, you will go a long, long way in this game.
Doc, a few weeks ago, you were over at the Concession Club, a great co-design by Jack Nicklaus and Tony Jacklin. Talk about that golf course and a couple more young players you had an opportunity to spend some time with.
Yeah, I've got AJ Hovermail, you know, over there. And, you know, Concession is, you know, the golf course. It was co-designed by Tony Jacklin and Jack Nicklaus. It's a fantastic, you know, fantastic, you know, layout. They had the World Championship golf tournament there about a month and a half ago. And I'll tell you what, it's, you know, I have this young player, and he's probably only about 130 pounds, AJ Hovermail Jr. And I tell you, this kid hits it with his left side, his right side, his back side, his front side. It reminds me of what Chichi Rodriguez used to say. He goes, I hit it with my left side, my right side, both the bottom of my feet. Because I put both cheeks into it. And I remember Chi-Chi said that years ago. And that's exactly what this young man does. And really a great player. And, you know, I've had a chance to, you know, see Nelly Korda over there, you know, practicing a lot. I think Sandra Gao, my player, you know, I worked with many years ago, she's over there now again. It's just a great, fantastic facility, beautiful golf course. But there's so many, you know, nice, beautiful golf courses. Everybody asks me, they go, Dr. Bob, you know, what is your favorite golf course that you've ever played? And I got to tell people, and I mean this with all sincerity, there's been some that I have played that are just fantastic. You know, I had a trip to Scotland here at the end of 2023. I loved, you know, Prestwick and Western Gales and the Azalea golf course, all of those over there. But any golf course that I'm on, Chris, I find something, you know, rather beautiful, rather challenging about it. I guess I just love the game. So I'm sort of an equal opportunity golfer, sports psychologist, because I realize the ultimate opponent in this game is not yourself, but, you know, it's you for you, and you have to beat the golf course and the golf course and the game. And they do not discriminate. They don't care how talented you are, how lucky you are, how much money or how poor you are. I mean, golf, I mean, it's black and white. Either you do it or you don't. And I think that's the challenge of the game. And I think that's why Arnie, and I'm going to, again, you know, give reverence to his name, the King. I think that's why he told me, he says, you know, Bobby, he goes, this is the greatest game ever invented. And I know that. And I got to tell you, when I was playing with him, the last time I played with him in 2007, he made a putt to help us, you know, our team. It was on the Arnie, was that, you know, skins game, you know, he would actually have. But it was the day right after the first round of the Masters. It was Good Friday in 2007. And he made a 10-foot putt for par that I think put our team, you know, in the lead. And I think we went on to win it. And he grabs me by the back of the neck. And he was, I don't know how old he was at that time, but he was strong. He had huge arms like a blacksmith and strong fingers. And he grabbed me and he goes, Bobby, he goes, I got to tell you one thing. They can say anything they want about those 300-yard drives, but there is no greater feeling in the world than making a winning putt. And I second that. And so that's kind of hail to the King right here on his anniversary of his tournament, you know, this week.
Doc, before I let you go, remind our listeners again, how can they come see you? How can they get copies of your book? And how can they follow you online and on social media?
Fantastic. Thank you. You know, they can find me on Instagram at Robert Winters or Dr. Bob Winters. My website is theconfidencedoctor.com. That's just all one big word, theconfidencedoctor.com. There's a lot of contact points for me right there. And yeah, I mean, people can also find me at, you know, davidledbetter.com, and they can find all of my products, all of my different books and different things I've done. You can go to Barnes & Noble, any major bookstore, retailer. You can go to amazon.com and look under books by Dr. Robert Winters, Dr. Bob Winters. And yeah, they can find me. And I know people are always surprised when they, you know, get a hold of my number and they call me. And they go, I'd like to talk to Dr. Bob Winters. I go, yes, this is Dr. Bob. Go ahead. And they go, oh my goodness, I didn't think I was going to get you. And I said, well, who did you think you were trying to, who are you trying to reach? You know, they go, oh, I thought I was going to talk to some administrator or some person. I said, no, you're talking to me. And that's kind of how it is. And I've tried to keep things very simple and straightforward all these years, Chris, because I got to tell you, I mean, my father taught me years ago that satisfied customers are always your best ads. And to me, you know, having people have success, it's just, you know, one of the greatest, you know, benefits of my profession. And I have just, you know, God has really blessed me every day, because I wake up every day is a new challenge, new opportunities, and new people to meet and greet and help them get their mind right.
That's wonderful. Dr. Bob, it's a privilege having you as part of the show now each month. I can't thank you enough for coming back and sharing the great things that you did tonight with our listeners. Can't wait to catch up again just a month from now. Enjoy the Arnold Palmer Invitational, and all my best to you.
Thanks, Chris. And always remember, the moment you change your mind, you change your game. Thanks, pal.
You bet. Take care, Doc.
Take care.
That is the great Dr. Bob Winters. And that last piece, and we'll talk more about this in future times when he comes back on the show. Change your mind, change your game, right? If we can get our minds right and change it to the positive, and he talked about playing smart golf, and we'll talk more about that next time as well. If you play smart golf, you play positively, you play optimistically, you have the confidence. TheConfidenceDoctor.com is the site, and you play with confidence, and you're just going to see what that does for you and your game, how much better you can be. Doc is just a wonderful guy. I can't thank him enough. And again, at Dr. Bob Winters, you can find him on Instagram, theconfidencedoctor.com. He's also on davidledbetter.com. And then you can find his books out on Amazon and all the all the typical bookstores. So thanks so much to Doc. We'll catch up with him again soon. Coming up next is going to be one of my all-time favorite people and a guest Hall of Famer over on our football show Thursday Night Tailgate, former defensive back for the Patriots, Chargers, Saints, Vikings, and Giants, Vency Glenn. Before I get to Vency, I want to remind you about our friends over at 2Under. 2Under men's performance briefs are the unofficial underwear of the PGA, Ryder Cup, and President's Cup teams, and are sold in over 3,000 golf pro shops and golf specialty retailers nationwide. Ricky Fowler is their global ambassador, and over 50 other PGA, Korn Ferry, and Champions Tour players wear them. Just to mention a few, they are David Toms, Jerry Kelly, Justin Thomas, William McGirt, Scott McCarron, and Chris DeMarco. The Joey Pouch technology provides the ultimate male asset management, delivering maximum comfort from the tee box to the boardroom to the bedroom. Go to 2under.com to check out the bundle specials that offer substantial discounts for being a Next on the Tee listener. That's the number 2under.com. 2Under, performance in your pants.
Every January, PGA Tour Superstore pros meet every manufacturer, learn about the latest equipment, log thousands of hours of training, and together hit over 100,000 balls, all so they can get you the perfect fit.
All right, now joining me for the first time here on the golf side, but one of our all-time favorite guests over on our football show Thursday Night Tailgate is Vency Glenn. Vency is one of my favorite people on the planet. He's been a wonderful friend for over the last almost 10 years now. For those who don't know, he played defensive back in the NFL from 1986 to 1995, and he did it for the Patriots, Chargers, Saints, Vikings, and Giants. He's from Grambling, Louisiana, played his college ball at Indiana State, where he was a four-year letterman. Vency holds the school record for career interceptions with 17 and the record for the longest interception returned for a touchdown of 100 yards, which he did against Wayne State in 1984. In 85, Vency was named a first-team All-Missouri Valley Conference player and a first-team All-American. That year, he was also named the Missouri Valley Conference Defensive Player of the Year. He played in the Blue-Gray game in 85 and the Senior Bowl in 86, was inducted into the Indiana State Hall of Fame in 1999. He was a second-round draft pick by the Patriots in 1986, and over the course of his NFL career, he had 642 tackles, 35 interceptions, recovered 9 fumbles, scored 3 touchdowns, and a couple of my favorite days have been spent with Vency. First at a Pro Bowl party that we did with Warren Moon, and we did a live broadcast from over in Hawaii. Got to hang out with Vency that night. We were at a rooftop party talking football on a live broadcast. Then a few months later, I get to walk the fairways at Augusta National during a practice round with him. And I promise you, every 10 yards or so, people stopped him to say hello, which prompted me to say to Vency, "Vency, you know everybody." And he looked at me and said, "No, Chris, everybody knows me." Hey, Vency, how are you, my friend?
I'm good, Chris. How are you, pal? Always good to hear your voice.
I appreciate you. So, Vincent, before we talk some golf, I got to talk a little football with you. And you had a lot of experience playing against the Kansas City Chiefs when you were a Charger. Now it looks like they're out there putting together a dynasty. They've been to 4 Super Bowls in the last 5 years, won 3 of them. What are your thoughts about what you're seeing from KC?
To me, Chris, I break football. I keep it simple. Football is simplicity. Sports will always be simple if you keep it in perspective. They have guys in that locker room year in and year out, 80% of them predominantly, that want to win a championship, truly, that every day want to come in, be better, get better, and enjoy playing with great athletes, great coaches, and being involved with a great organization, which also brings so many other opportunities to you outside of football. So that's why they're above. They go there. People, they get guys that are willing to put the time in and do the right thing. And you're always going to have that 20% on the team that's disruptive, like LaDarius Toney this year, that kind of thing, things like that. So you're always going to have those kind of guys. But the majority of them just want to win championships and be a part of something great. And so they go in every year, and they've learned how to win football games. Their past just scoring points. They learn how to win football games in all adverse situations. and instances. And so that's the beauty of it. And they've done it under two different kind of offensive coordinators and systems. And that's the belief in Andy Reid and what he's put together over there at that organization.
Pat Mahomes is being talked about in the same breath as Tom Brady. Some have already crowned him the best of all time. Where does he stand in your mind?
The only reason why I can't put him up there with the great ones, because you're not allowed to hit these guys like you're allowed to hit the great ones. You know, the tuck rule was invented because of Tom Brady, you know, and things like that. So, you know, that's when things really start taking off for you. When you sit there and compare against guys that had to take the licks, you know, late hits and all that, and endure week in and week out for years, and they did it and still accomplished greatness. That's just a different kind of beast to me. I'm not taking anything away from what he does on the field, because he's a leader on the field. And more than anything, Chris, people don't understand when you're against that one guy and you can just know it, whether he's on your team or opponent. You're like, he just competes at a whole different level. And you might think you're the hardest competitor in the world and you go at it and you give it 120. But somehow this guy's going at 135, 140. And that's what I mean, like a John Randall. Just a guy just at a different level, man. And it's just a beauty to just be a part of. And it makes you want to up your game. So it's great.
Speaking of John Randall, and when I look back to some of the great Vikings teams that you were a part of, 1992, Denny Green's the head coach, Tony Dungy's the defensive coordinator. Your offense, you had Anthony Carter, Chris Carter, Jake Reed, Terry Allen, Roger Craig was a part of that team. On your defense, you had Jack Del Rio, Chris Dolman, John Randall, Mike Merriweather, Carlos Jenkins, Carl Lee. Boy, I'm looking at that roster. You throw Vince Glennon on top of that. How did you guys not win a Super Bowl?
Let's just say we... 92, when I first got there, everybody came in and bought into the Denny Green system, and we got to the playoffs, and we had a Rich Gannon and Sean Salisbury were our two quarterbacks, okay? Then in 93, we acquired Jim McMahon, and we were rolling. We were the number one defense in the NFL that year in 93 in Minnesota. Jim McMahon was our quarterback. The offense was rolling. Jim got beat up into the season, going into the playoffs, and John Randall, Henry Thomas, hurt his ankle real bad where he was on one ankle. So we went into the playoffs beat up, and we lost to the Giants by 3 or 4 up in the Meadowlands, or 7, something like that. And that hurt us, that we weren't healthy going into the playoffs, even though we had a good year. And so in 94, they kind of dismantled the whole team, you know, and they brought Warren in to boost the offense, but they got rid of like 4 starters off the number one defense. And that just, we were still good. We might have won or came second in the division, but we made the playoffs every year under Denny Green. But it was just tough to get over that hump, because we didn't have the defense we needed to going into the playoffs.
Vincey, as you know, this show has been picked up in my hometown of Pittsburgh. It's now in the Pittsburgh Tribune Review, right there in the sports section. You got to play, like I mentioned, for Tony Dungy, a former Steeler. Talk about what was it like playing for Tony.
Man, it was probably the greatest experience playing for him, but I know him on a personal level and knew him on a personal level before I ever got the opportunity to play for him. And then getting that opportunity and just the knowledge that he gave me and shared with me on and off the field is just godsend. And I learned so much from him. He helped me build my character. You know, you just want to be a better person when you get around Tony Dungy. And you just want to do good things. And he makes you believe in each other and what you're doing. But there's a right way and a wrong way to achieve certain goals. And so, you know, he's just a character builder, just a great human being, just really dear to me. And I just appreciate having the opportunity just to know him, first of all, but by having the opportunity to play up under him.
Vince, one of your many great attributes to me as a football player is how smart and instinctual you were out there. I know you studied a lot of film, but how many times were you back there in the defensive backfield looking over the offensive formation saying to yourself, oh, I know what this play is going to be?
Quite a few, Chris. Quite a few, and I'm sure there are a lot of times with quarterback and receivers, I know what defense they're in. So, you know, there's only so many plays the offense can run. They might come out in different formations, but the play's still pretty much going to be ran the same way. Every now and then they'll do a variation, but there's only so many plays they're going to run. And you got to remember, when you're sitting in there trying to put in 50 offensive plays and trying to run 40 of them a game, you got a lot of guys out there, the mind ain't wired for 40 different offensive plays a game on your side of the ball. So you can't trick yourself too many times. So, you know, at the end of the day, it's just line up and play football. And the guys that don't make the mistakes, don't miss tackles, don't give up the big plays, those are the teams that win.
Then, so you averaged 5 interceptions per season over your last 4 years in the league. Your final season with the Giants, you had 5, and you ran one back for a touchdown that season against Washington off one of my good friends, another one that joins us a lot on Thursday night, Gus Frerotte. I say all that to say, it didn't seem like you had slowed down at all. What made you decide to walk away?
Chris, I have spinal stenosis, C4, C7. And so I found that out probably in 93, I want to say. I found that out. I had a little spinal stenosis, C4, C7. And so then when I got traded to the Giants, I had a tweak where it caused a little numbness in me and in the game. So I sat out a game. But I still had 5 interceptions, only played 15 games. And so then the Giants released me after that year because of my injury. I'm more than anything else, just didn't want that liability. And I couldn't pass the physical with a couple other teams. So I knew it was time to retire. And because I wanted to be able to meet people like you. I wanted to be able to run, jump. I wanted to be able to hug, you know, all the things that you do in life, you know, as you get older. And I didn't, you know, it was just time to give it up, you know, and I was blessed to get 10 years in. I don't have one regret of one play, one practice, one game, one thing I ever did in the NFL, because I gave it everything I always had. I know that. I honestly can believe that. And I'm good with it. So I have no regrets about my career, how it ended or anything like that. Or, you know, I never was all pro or anything like that, but I have all pro numbers. And just the respect that I get from a lot of guys in the league and people like yourself, and that's good enough for me.
All right, let's switch gears. Let's talk some golf because you're a really good player. Tell me, when did you first start playing the game?
And my dad had us out there at Lee Elder's Golf Camp in Washington, D.C., at Anacostia Park back in the 70s. And my dad was a big Jack Nicklaus fan. And he used to always say, boy, when you get to be my age, that's all you're going to be able to do. I said, man, I don't care. I'm going outside to play football and basketball. You can have this thing, right? So we did Lee Elder's golf camp for about 2 to 3 years. And that's when I met Lee on a personal basis and knew him and everything when I was a little youngster, teenager. So, and I was just out there swinging, hitting it. But my dad loved it. He used to love taking me and my brother because he used to make us chase the ball. Why go get that ball? So, and then I probably, after that, I didn't play anymore. And I remember he had the old Jack Nicklaus irons, the 1200 irons, Jack Nicklaus 1200 irons, and all that. And so I probably didn't pick up a club until my second year in the league. Ping was giving away golf clubs to NFL players. and they customized it, put your little name on it. So I had the pink copperhead, pink eye tubes, sent a beryllium set sent to me. And that's how I got into it. Then a year later, I started my own celebrity golf tournament in San Diego. Did that for six, seven years, and did it for Child Abuse Prevention Foundation. So wow. I've been into golf for a minute.
So talk about that, because you did your own tournament. You go and play in a lot of the former players have foundation tournaments or things that they are playing for, and you go playing a lot of those. Talk about some of the events you enjoy playing in.
Oh, well, my tour coming up this year, Ward Dunn's in Atlanta and Brian Jordan's in Atlanta. So those are two of my favorite golf events I do every year. Just great human beings that do so much for the city and so much for others. And it's just an honor and a privilege that you know them as friends, but also get to be a part of what they do on a day-to-day basis. And so, you know, traveling and getting to see friends you don't see anymore, you might speak to or might FaceTime or whatever these days, and actually getting that one-on-one FaceTime, just like you know I like to have, like you know we've had before. It's just invaluable. It's just awesome. So I look forward to it.
What's your most memorable round?
Oh, I got two of them. I've shot 67 twice.
Oh.
And the first time I shoot it, I'm with my golf instructor. I go out, I say, man, I'm struggling. And I mean, I was struggling. And I go out, he go with me, gave me a little golf tip. The guy was just so great. His name is AJ Bonar. It's just so great. And he gave me a golf tip. We go out, I shoot 67. I mean, I'm a good putter. I'm a real good putter. And short game is good. So I don't hit it. I'm not a bomber of the ball. I just try to keep it in play. You know, I'm going to make bogey. If I make double, it's probably because of a mistake I made off the tee. So I'm not a bomber or anything like that. I just love the mental part of the game. And like Doc Winter said before me, man, it's just, and that Arnold Palmer told him, man, it's the greatest game you ever played. It's the greatest game I ever played. I love it. I'm addicted to it. And I just absolutely enthralled with the game on the women's side and on the men's side.
So you go out and shoot 67 twice. What's your most memorable shot?
Hole in one at the Danian Tomlinson Celebrity Golf Tournament. I won a car.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
All right. So you got to take us through that now. What was the yardage? What'd you hit? How'd it go in?
It was downhill, probably, want to say like 167, 170, somewhere 167. I hit a 6-iron, and it hit, and it just hit left of the flag, and it just starts rolling toward the hole. And then, you know, they got spotters and them down there watching to see who, if you make hole in one on the greens and stuff. And they're standing behind the green, and we're just watching it. And it's just rolling, rolling, rolling like a putt right into the hole. And it just rolls in. And I'm like, yes, sir.
So what car did you win?
I won a Ford Expedition.
Wow.
I did not take the car. I did not need a car. I paid the taxes on it and took the money.
I'm with you there. I probably do the same thing.
I don't need a car, but I'll take that cat.
I bet. So let's take that a step further. What are some of your favorite golf courses that you have had an opportunity to go out and play on?
Man, I've been all over and played. You know, I've played Pebble. I've played Spyglass, Spanish Bay. I've played a bunch of them down in Florida. I've been to PGA National. I've played the Copperhead course down there, played the Rowell. I've played Congressional. I've played the big one in Hawaii that they do the champion, the first tournament of the year on.
Yep, Wailea.
I've played the one they played in Phoenix on. I played that course. A lot of courses, some of the best courses I played, Chris, are private courses, man.
No doubt.
Private courses that are absolutely phenomenal out there.
No doubt. Like, whoa. What was it like when you played at Pebble? What kind of conditions did you play it in?
Oh, I played Pebble at least 5 times. I played when it's cold. More than anything, Chris, Pebble's a long walk, man. I don't care what kind of shape you're in. That's a hard walk, man. Pebble is just... Have you played it?
I have not. I aspire to, but I've not.
Oh, man, that's a long walk, man. Ronnie Lott used to have his celebrity golf tournament at Spanish Bay. And we used to go over and play spyglass in a practice round. And I'm telling you, man, it's a big, tough walk. I'm talking about it's over a lot. Everybody be like, I mean, it's a novelty, trust me, but it's a big walk, man. And you'd be like, man, huh?
How does it compare to walking Augusta National?
Augusta's way hard. Once you get down to A-Man's Corner down at the bottom, Chris, at Augusta,
yep.
It's all uphill from there, baby. You know that.
Yep. Yeah, it is.
you see me out there. And yep. I was walking with Tiger's mom. And I was holding, you know, me and her were walking together. So it was a long walk.
Yeah, it is. So speaking of Tiger, I know the two of you are friends. He's in a tough spot, I feel like, right now. I mean, some people expect him to go out there and win again. His body has obviously been through a bunch. Walking at Augusta National, as you said, and we've talked on this show a bunch, is not what it looks like on TV. It's a whole lot worse to try to walk that golf course. What's your expectations for him going forward? Can he win again?
Oh, I know he can win again. That's not the problem. It's just, can he stay healthy is the question. Tiger showed that he can hit it as far or as those guys. His golf game is just as good. His short game and putting is better than 80% of the guys out there. He's not worried about hitting it long because he knows how to get around golf course. He can hit all kind of shots. And when you have that in your bag and the confidence he has, and he, you know, those kind of competitors, the Kobe Bryants, the Michael Jordans, the Federers, they don't think like you and I. They don't think like fans. They don't think like critics. They don't think like writers. Their game plan and what they're trying to achieve is so far ahead of where we are and what we're thinking about on a day-to-day basis, because that's all you can do in the media and as a fan is just go from day to day, because you have no idea what they're planning or what they're going through. But anybody knows, I don't care what kind of athlete you are and what sport you do, if you're not healthy, it doesn't matter. You ain't going to beat nobody. You're not going to play at your best. You know, I think he's healthy because he can walk again, and he's going to continue to get better. That's just modern medicine. You see what I'm saying? It's not like he's going to decrease because medicine ain't caught up and don't know how to. You know. Man, these guys are like, fit now. You can be fit all the way until you're 60 nowadays. Look at Padre Harry. He's bombing it. He's bombing it. Right. You know what I'm saying? So there's ways to hit the ball far if that's what you got to do. But man, once Tiger inside 200 yards, he's the best iron player in the world. So he only got to hit it, but so far, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, you want to be closer to give yourself opportunities. But Tiger knows there's no benefit from playing out of the rough, just bombing it down there and just trying to get in and play out of the rough. That's not a game plan. So, you know, his health-wise, it's just, hey, I'll take it by chance. I'm not in no rut because there's no age limit to it. And all I care about is, hey, can I play Augusta for the next 10 years? And I'll give myself a chance of winning at least, you know, 4 out of 10 of them.
What's in Vincy Glenn's bag nowadays?
Chris, to be honest, man, I haven't done anything in probably 3 to 4 years, man. Right before COVID, I kind of shut everything down and, man, had some health issues. And I pretty much had to learn how to walk again, Chris.
Is that right?
I'm just getting back on my feet. Body broke down and COVID hit. Couldn't go to therapy or anything for a year because you just couldn't. Wouldn't know where to go. Gyms closed, everything. And that really hurt me. And atrophy set in, and I lost a lot of weight. And so once COVID was over, I started getting in the gym. Well, what I could do, because just walking around the house and walking was a struggle. So I didn't go out a lot or do a lot. So slowly but surely, I started getting back in the pool and everything, and at the gym, and just getting back on my feet. I just started stem cell treatment in January. I was blessed enough to meet the owner of the stem cell company called Rejuvenetics, based out of Scottsdale, Arizona. They work with the Navy SEALs over here in San Diego on helping those guys transform from, you know, active duty to civilian life, and work with them and things. And my buddy's an ex-Navy SEAL and introduced me to the owner, and he asked me, would I be an ambassador? Would I like treatment? And my buddy said, you gonna do it? And I'm like, absolutely. I will definitely take some free treatment. Are you kidding? And Chris, it has changed my life.
Is that right?
It's modern medicine is unbelievable. So it's changed my life. It's incredible how much better I feel in that short period of the time. I got my natural weight back. I'm happy. I think clear. I got clarity. I feel better, and it's from the inside out. And the great thing about it, and I'm not trying to pub it up, it's for everybody, it's each his own, is that it's built for you. It's based off your blood work and what you need and what you're trying to accomplish with your body. That's the simplicity of it. It's not going to be what somebody else do. So I can't sit here and say, hey, man, you should do what I do. You got to do treatments that are best for you and what you're trying to achieve with your health. And I'm trying to achieve overall health inside and out, and you know, and not just the aesthetics of it on the outside, trying to look good, but just cleaning up my whole system and getting healthier from the inside, you know, ligaments, joints, blood flow, you know, just everything, whole health system. So that's where I'm at right now, and that's kind of what I'm focused on.
So could that lead in the next coming months of you getting back out on the golf course, taking some swings, trying to get your game back?
Hey, Chris, if I got anything to do with it, it'll start this month. I haven't touched the club since September.
Wow.
I've only played golf, Chris, probably in the last 4 years, probably 30 times. And that's because my buddies made me go out. I had no balance. I could barely stand up and swing a club. And my buddies would make me go out just to get out the house, you know, and kind of help with my mental wellness. And but other than that, man, it's been a tough road back. And I'm like, man, this is tough. And I'm mentally strong. But I'll tell you, I had my days, Chris. Whoa. I had my days.
You did.
Yeah.
So what else is on Vincy Glenn's calendar for this year?
Nothing. Just get healthy, bro. I'm just happy right now. Just get healthy, and I don't try to forecast too many things, man. I just want to be healthy right now in my life, and I think that'll make me happy. And if I'm healthy and happy, you know, then I'm good, Chris. You know me. I'm simple, pal.
Well, I hope that healthy and happy leads you to being able to play some more and maybe come back to Brian Jordan's event and Warwick Dunn's event, because when Vincy Glenn's in Atlanta, I got to see him.
Well, I'm letting you know now, Warwick's is Warwick Dunn's celebrity golf tournament is in the first week of June, I believe. I don't know if they're official or not, but I think it's going to be the first week of June. And so I'll be back in June, then I'll be back again in October.
Well, I hope
so. So you're definitely going to hear from me this time, Chris. I promise you.
I hope so.
I appreciate you, man.
Vincy, you're the best, my friend. I can't thank you enough for taking time out of your night to come and join me. You're one of my favorite people on the planet. You mean a great deal to me, so thank you so much.
Oh, I appreciate you, man. You got me anytime, anywhere you need me, pal.
And you know, I'm looking up right now at my Vincy Glenn jersey, signed and framed here right in front of me, because that every time I look at it, I think of you and your smile, and that makes me smile.
I appreciate you for representing me, man. I love you for it, man.
Betsy, take care, my friend. All the best to you and the family. I hope I get the privilege of catching up with you again soon.
Me too. Be safe out there, pal.
You too, Betsy.
Take care.
That is the great Betsy Glenn, folks, and just a finer human being you will not find than that man. He is just a treasure. Everything about him is positive and great. And I hate that he was struggling a little bit physically, and I'm sure that creeps over a little bit mentally. But I'm glad that he is better and on the road to recovery and doing some great things. And he's a tremendous golfer and just, like I say, a tremendous individual. Was a great player in the NFL. Should have been a Pro Bowler multiple times. And just go look him up on Pro Football Focus. You'll see him there, and you go Pro Football Reference as well, and see what he did there and all the games and the things of that nature. He had several. Oh, by the way, he returned an interception over 100 yards against John Elway. That's a red feather kind of thing day for him. And so many other great things that he did over the course of his playing career, and transitioned that over to his golf game. And when you spend some time with him, you'll see why he's just such a, again, we're at Augusta National. He lives in San Diego, never played in Atlanta, and never played for the Falcons or anything like. And I promise you, every 10 yards, Vency. I was astounded at how many people, you know, were just all over and knew Vency Glenn. And then I had the privilege, you mentioned he mentioned walking with Tiger's mom, and he introduced me to Tiger's mom, introduced me to Phil Knight of Nike, and several other people along the path that were out there. That's just because he radiates positivity and goodness, and people just are naturally drawn to him. And I hope you got a little taste of that during the course of our conversation. All right, my friends, it is time for me to put a bow on this edition of Next on the Tee. My sincere thanks go out to Bob Winskowitz, Dr. Bob Winters, and Vency Glenn for joining me this week. Scheduled to join me next week are, of course, Tom Patry will be back with us. Titleist Manager of Player Promotions, Michael Gibson, will make his Next on the Tee debut, as will one of the top golf course designers in our game, David Turner, will be here, as will Gary and Dana DiDalvo. They are the founders of Popticals, great sunglasses that can help protect your eyes when you're out there on the golf course. I love their glasses, by the way. Please go online and check them out at popticals.com, PopTicals.com. You can go check them out online for yourselves. So, folks, it's going to be a great show next week. I hope you'll come back and be a part of it with us. Quick reminder that you can find the show available as a podcast just about anywhere you get your podcast content. But in particular, as you hear me say all the time, we are now out on the Pittsburgh Tribune review site. Just go to triblive.com, click on sports, and you're going to find the show right there on the homepage of the sports section. You can also click on podcasts, and you're going to find it front and center for you there as well. You can also find the show over on Good Pods, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, Audio Boom, and Player.fm. And again, my thanks to the folks over at Good Pods for making this show one of their recommended podcasts. So please download their free app and stream your favorite podcast on your favorite device. But as always, most of all, my sincere thanks to all of you for being the greatest supporters in the history of podcasts. I appreciate you all so very much. Until next week, hit 'em straight, my friends.